Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, here we are once again. It's time for another A to Z of the 1990s with me, Andy Bush, and Louise Maloney, who is in her little airing cupboard again on this video chat. And I can just see, like, from your nose downwards.
Oh, sorry. I think that's just the way that I'm in quite a small part of the cupboard, right?
Yeah.
So I think this is the only way I can make it work today, to be honest.
It's an interesting little bag system you've got in the corner there. What is that?
Oh, yeah, like look at this. So this is for... Yeah. So that's three sections. My partner hates this. Three. This is for... No, this is so boring, Bush. Okay.
Just tell me what it is.
This is for hand washing.
Overhang the rest of the podcast.
This is for hand washing. This is for, like, blacks, and this is whites. Isn't that so clever?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Come here. Anyway, way more important stuff to talk about, Bush. You've had your procedure since we last talked.
I have had my procedure. My little thing on the end of my nose has been lopped off in quite a painful hour of my life, I'll be honest with you.
What, were you not under anaesthetic?
Only local, like injected into the nose. So they took they obviously chopped off the spot on my nose, and then behind my ear, they took a circle of skin from behind there and then stitched that in.
Turn around. Let me see the back of your neck there.
Let's have a look. This is good for a podcast, live back of my neck.
Yeah. Okay, he's turning around. He's just put it in the place where the mic is so I can't actually see it. Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's a very sensitive part of the back of the ear, isn't it, for that?
Isn't it? Do you know the worst thing about it was when the procedure was going on, they had Smooth Radio on in the background, which I have an actual aversion to. So forever, Smooth Radio will be linked to me having a surgical procedure that hurts.
Yeah, I just had an MRI a few weeks ago and they had the breakfast show from Magic on. And obviously that's where I used to work. So I was able to call my ex-boss and go, so I just did a snoop of your show. Do you want to hear my feedback? And she was just like, no, thank you. It's like, okay.
It's weird though, isn't it? You can get weird context to whatever you're going through in your life if you hear a certain thing in the background. So do you remember a movie called Touching the Void where two fellas went climbing and one of them had an accident. The other one had to cut the other one loose. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
There was a bit where he heard on his when the other one was crawling back to base camp on his own. All he had going around in his head was Brown Girl in the Rain. Is that In the Rain by Boney M? Brown Girl in the Rain. Da, na, 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 na. And for some reason, that was on loop on his head. And now, wherever he hears that song, he says, because obviously he was at death's door, it sends shudders literally down his spine. And I'll have the same thing with those. Bits of Smooth Radio I heard whilst he was cutting my nose in half.
And come here, tell me this now. What's the recovery time? Because you do have a big blob of cotton wool on top of that thing. So I can't really see it, which is obviously the point because it's still healing. When can that come off? Yeah. Oh God, Bush, that looks sore.
It's sore, man. It's pretty sore. It comes off tomorrow. So the stitches come out tomorrow. Yeah. And then I'm going to have a circle, which I'm going to have to do a bit of... I might get into the world of, like, fancy makeup. Do you know what I mean? There's people use a lot of makeup for, you know, scars and all that. Weirdly, I did a phone-in on the radio show about if you've got an interesting scar, because I will have a scar because of this going forwards. So many people have got some unbelievable things that have caused them injuries and stuff, from shark bites to wounds when they were falling off skateboards in the 80s and stuff like that. So I feel like I'm in good company. It's a bit of character building, isn't it, I guess?
Also, but you know, like I, you know, Tom has a really, really big scar on his cheek, straight across his cheekbone. And I just think it's very attractive.
So you reckon it adds a bit of a look?
Oh my God, it adds a bit of character. It can, you know, it shows he can be roughed up a little bit, which is obviously good to know as a woman.
What happened to Tom? Do you mind if I ask how Tom got his scar? Did he slip over on Old Compton Street, I heard?
I don't know what happened. I think it happened on a night out and he fell asleep on it. And when he woke up, he took his head off the pillow and the pillow pulled the flap of skin away, basically, where the blood had dried during the night. Yeah, I know. Sorry about that.
Oh, my word. That is unbelievable, isn't it? You see, this is the problem, right? If you've got like I'm not saying, you know, run-of-the-mill. If you've got like an easily explainable scar, you would be quite tempted to just kind of double down on it and just say,
of course.
You know, I'd rather run in with the triads. I owe them some money, that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I need to talk to you about is that I have started an online hate campaign. Have you heard about this?
I think I might have an idea as to what this might be, Louise. Yes.
So I've now started retweeting all your tweets about your other podcast, telling people not to download it.
That is so what are you like?
So I'm now, every time I'm actually actively tweeting, do not listen to this podcast that Bush is on, because I'm not having it. I'm just not having it, Bush.
That is outrageous.
I'm just not having it, okay?
So I saw this earlier on, because I do another podcast, an Everton fan podcast, which being an Everton fan is quite hard. So it's almost like a self-help podcast with the 1878 podcast is called, with the guys from Toffee TV. And you've retweeted it, which I thought, oh, that's nice. Louise has retweeted it. So I got an alert. But it actually says, don't do it, peeps. Don't do it,
don't
peeps.
Don't do it, capitals. Peeps. Don't do it, peeps. Yeah, don't do it. I mean, it's absolute rubbish. I'm going to come out and say it.
Right.
And this podcast is far superior.
This podcast is where my heart lies. My heart lies here in the A to Z of the 1990s. It is the,
well, then,
the big
Bush,
project.
Keep it in your pants. Keep it in your pants, okay? And just deal with this podcast.
This is not infidelity. This is not infidelity. This is just working, mate. Do you know what I mean? This is getting as much work as I can.
Not having it.
And the worst thing is they release the video of the chat each week. So I've been doing it with this thing stuck on my nose.
Oh,
so
Bush,
spare a bit of thought for you know, the invisible man over here with the bandages. Sorry.
Okay, we'll allow it. Also, we're coming to the end of this, so I guess you need to scratch your podcast itch somehow, and Toffee TV is going to be it. So I'll allow it, because we're so far into this. I'll allow it.
We're going to make another album, Louise. This isn't our final album. This is just album two in our sequence of collaborations.
The difficult second album, yeah.
Well, speaking of which, should we do this? I worried this was going to be difficult, but judging of the brilliant responses coming from our amazing listeners here on the A to Z of the 90s, I think this is going to be a breeze. In the A to Z of the 1990s, we're at you. Right, we're going to kick off with one here for you, with a men's hairstyle that you might not be aware of. Well, you probably are aware of it. You've probably seen them around. A lot of people, particularly Graham King, has suggested we need to talk about you for undercut, the men's haircut, a.k.a. The wedge. We used to call it a wedge back in where I live down in Devon. Are you aware of this haircut?
Now, is this where... I think my mother was very against this haircut, if I remember correctly. Is this where it was like quite closely shaven on the bottom of the skull?
Yep.
And behind the ears and stuff. And then you had like the curtain's hair above it.
That's exactly it. It was like a basin, days. Almost like a basin cut, but a bit higher up. I remember, is it Bernie Sumner from, or was it Barney? I never know his name's Bernie or Barney. From the lead singer of New Order, is he Bernie or Barney?
No idea, Bush.
Bernie sounds a bit like roast chicken and turkey. Whereas Barney sounds a bit like he might be like an inflatable dinosaur. Whatever it is, lead singer of New Order had a classic wedge stroke undercut during the release of course, the England song World in Motion for the World Cup in Italia 90. And that was just... And what you did, when you're dancing, when you're doing 90s dancing, singing for England, it kind of flops around on top of your head.
Yeah, that's part of it, isn't it? It's the whole textured movement more than just a haircut, really, wasn't it?
Well, the reason it has a special place in my heart is that I've got quite wiry, thick, curly hair.
You do.
I remember trying to grow that back in the day, undercut, wedge, whatever, and then bigger on the top, and I just look like Virginia Wade.
Yeah, I don't think you could pull that off, Bush, to be honest. You can pull a lot of stuff off. Don't think you can put... What's it called? What do you call it? The undercut. So do you know what we used to call it in Ireland? The step.
A step?
Yeah, it's called the step haircut in Ireland.
And I'm always fascinated by what people ask for when they go to their hairdresser. Mm. When you go into your hairdresser, Louise, what are the words that you say for what you want?
Layers.
Can I just have layers? That's quite unspecific, isn't it?
No, they know exactly what you mean. They're like, oh, okay, because it means that they chop into it quite a lot around the sides and the back. So it's not just like one consecutive piece of hair.
And you, if you don't mind me asking, do you then, because Katie, my other half, has got one bloke who cuts her hair, like it's like a retinue of staff, and then another lady who tints her hair, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Have you got someone else who does the dyeing bit then?
Absolutely. Completely different people. They're two totally different skills, Bush.
But tell you what, though, the people who do the hair dyeing, I mean, I've been to Superdrug. I've seen the little locks of fake hair outside the box, and you just pick the colour you want. I mean, they're having a laugh on. They get paid loads of money to do that.
Do you know what feels amazing, right? When you go to a salon that doesn't just do hair, that they do nails as well. And so you're getting a blow dry or whatever, or you're getting your hair cut and you're also getting your nails done at the exact same time.
Is that good, is it?
Like, you feel like a celeb because you're just like, oh my God, there's so many people tending to my bits.
Do you feel like you might be going on to like GMTV any second to have an interview or something like that?
I want like a fan on me so like my hair is blowing. I just, it's the dream. It's the dream.
What I love as well, one final thing on girls' haircuts, one other thing I love about it is that even though with all the technology and the fact they've been doing this for donkey's years, they still have to paint a bit of the hair colour on like your forehead. Is it as if, you know the way people would paint loads of bits of different colour from tester pots on a lounge wall to see whether it looks good? Don't they still do that on the side of your head or the back of your head to see whether you react to...
Well, they do what's called a patch test.
But if you're allergic, you're allergic. Or if you're not, you're not. Why do they keep doing the patches?
I think they're just paranoid that like you're going to break out in hives as soon as they put it on you. So they make you do one. I know what you mean. It seems pretty archaic, doesn't it?
But, I just feel like I could maybe come into the female hair market and, I don't know, shake things up and streamline things a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
I think, sorry, last thing on women's haircuts, right? Tom always gets really weird with me when I'm at the salon, we'll call it, right? Or the hairdresser. Because I'll say, bye, I'm just going to get my hair done. And he's like, okay, bye. And then 5 hours later, I'm still not home. And he's like, Louise, like, where are you? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm in the hairdresser. He's like, you couldn't be. You left 5 hours ago. I'm like, no, I'm still here. He's like, how is that possible? Like, I have to block out at least a half a day to be in the salon.
I mean, I don't want to dwell on it, but that's kind of my point. Like, what is going on? Although maybe when you work out the amount of money that you pay the hair dyeing people per hour, per hour, it's probably...
Session.
It's quite low then, isn't it, really? Because you take it. Or have they got loads of you on the go? They get your hair going there, put some tinfoil on it.
And get someone else. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm in the wrong game.
You really are. And it's annoying because I have to just basically have half a day of my weekend just gone to go to the bloody hairdresser.
Right, I'm going to retrain. What I'm going to do, I'm going to get one of them seats that wheel around. I'll be one of those type of hairdressers that wheels around by sitting down. And just like an RSI injury wristband.
Are you cut or colour? You're going to be cut or colour?
I'll do cutting. I think colouring's not really proper hairdoing, is it?
Just mixing
colours up, do you know what I mean?
It's a very exact science, Bush. Anyway, we're not getting into this. We digress so much. I'm going to hit you. Oh, sorry. What was that one then for you?
In the A to Z of the 1990s, U is for undercut.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay, Claire Brooks has been in touch.
Oh, is she now?
I love Claire Brooks. She's been in touch on the Instagram account and she came up with a brilliant one for you. And the minute she came up with it, I was like, it's going to be the best one.
This is for
and
me,
that
yeah?
is... And that is, U is for Ursula, the witch from The Little Mermaid.
Full disclosure, I've never watched The Little Mermaid before.
Oh no, Bush. That was, so my two favourite films when I was a kid were, The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And Lady and the Tramp. Both absolutely brilliant.
I don't think I've watched either of them, but from what I've seen when they've been on in the background, like the kids have been watching them or whatever, that animation went all kind of bright and nice when Toy Story came along. But before that, Disney animation was kind of slightly grim and dark and almost a bit dirty looking.
No, I know what you mean. And then I think it was Pixar that really kind of came along and shined it all up. But she is right, though. So basically, the gist of The Little Mermaid is she is a mermaid. And then she comes up above water and sees this really hot guy on the strand.
She's
like, oh, I want a bit of him. But she can't go because she's got no legs. So Ursula, the sea witch, who is, can I just say, Bush, terrifying.
Is she like purple?
Absolutely. Yeah, and like she's got loads of tentacles. Maybe she's got the bottom of an octopus. So she's got all those tentacles coming out of her. And she's got a really scary voice. And the Little Mermaid has a beautiful singing voice. Yeah. And she basically says to her, I will give you legs if you give me your voice. And she agrees to this for some reason. And Ursula the Sea Witch takes her voice and then grants her legs. And that is the story of the Little Mermaid.
So it's like a legs for voice deal.
Yeah. You know, and it's absolutely brilliant, very compelling. Ursula is a brilliant villain, and the little mermaid is just a cutie. Maybe I think she's such a cutie, though, because she's like a redhead. Maybe that's it.
But like, so does Ursula go around with like, talks like her, like does her voice? Like, and yeah, what happens and to the Little Mermaid? She can then get Ursula's voice.
She gets no voice. She's then mute. Yeah. She's then completely mute, but she's got lovely, stunning, slender legs. And she's up on a boat with the prince. And he just thinks she's all coy and quiet because she hasn't spoken yet.
Wow, that's fantastic. Is that like, do you remember Splash? That movie Splash with that Daryl Hannah. Is it Daryl Hannah? The really fruity mermaid comes on to start snogging Tom Hanks left, right and centre.
Come here, Bush. I'm going to give you some homework. Will you watch The Little Mermaid before next week's record?
Do you know what, weirdly enough, Thea, my middle daughter, had it on for a bit the other day, but she gets very scared. Kids these days are not fortified.
Really?
You know, kids need to be scared of stuff.
A little bit,
that was one of the key things of you know, watching telly when we were kids. You know, you look back at even just like Star Wars, like remember the first Star Wars, there's a bit in the first one, A New Hope or whatever, where the stormtroopers kill like an entire... like load of Jawas, just burn them, just absolutely, you know, it's genocide in many ways, Louise. Mm. Kids aren't ready for that now. Do you know what I mean? It's different times.
But it really sets them up for life. You know, at least they know there's badness out there. So we really need to, I don't know, should we scare Thea maybe? We should try and just purposely scare her?
Well, let's get, what I'll do, I'll sit her down and she can watch Watership Down and then the creepy animated version of Lord of the Rings that was out before the movies. And that'll probably do it.
Let's do it.
In the 80s of the 1990s, what is it, Louise?
U is for Ursula.
Ashley has tweeted us. He says, U has to be for EMF's Unbelievable.
Oh, it's such
a Unbelievable.
Isn't it? Oh! I bet you play that all the time on your show, do you?
All the time.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? They're the only... although they're nice chaps and everything, but there's no two ways about it. They're good lads. I've heard a rumour that they're good lads. And they're the only band that I've gone to see play that have been so bad that they've come back on at the end and apologised to the audience.
What?
Exeter
okay, firstly,
University.
Why were they so bad, first of all?
It was all just... I don't know what it was. It was all just going wrong. Everything went wrong in the gig. There was a lot of mistakes and then sound problems and all that kind of stuff. And this came back on at the end. Just said, sorry, that was really bad. Apologies about that. And I thought I admired their honesty, and that was at Exeter University back in the early 90s.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And did they do like an encore as a sort of way to like pay you guys back for a crap gig? Or did they just go, sorry about that, and then left the stage?
No, they did an encore and then apologised at the end of the encore, I think. But and it's unresolved for me because I've always loved EMF and everything as well. I mean, they've got like, they were their first album and everything was brilliant. But I was due to DJ on a boat with them as part of the Shine On, like, it was like a cruise from Hull to Antwerp.
Wow.
Which sounds like quite a brutal ferry experience. But they were going to play on it. I was going to DJ on it. So I thought, finally going to get to meet EMF, and it never happened. So
the cruise never happened?
The cruise got done by COVID. Right, this is the last three times, right? We've had cruise, supposed to happen, COVID. I was then booked to play Shine On Budapest, which would have been brilliant. Then the war in Ukraine started, so we had to pull out of that.
Oh, I'm so sorry for you, Bush. What a tough life for you.
I've had a tough
war in Ukraine.
War in Ukraine. And then I should have played the Shine On weekend of the weekend just gone, but I've had to have this thing on my nose. So
yeah,
I don't
want to
say that I'm cursed, but I feel like I'll be glad to see the back of 2022, put it that way.
Do you know what I would have liked to have seen? That first cruise with you and EMF and then COVID hitting and you being stuck on a cruise with EMF.
Imagine that. Because weirdly enough, our producer at work, Nick's parents were on a cruise just off the coast of Argentina when COVID hit. And they were literally marooned on the boat for like 2 or 3 weeks, which, I mean, there's worse places to be trapped, you know what I mean?
Being
moored just off Hull, I imagine, is a slightly different experience.
And Kamir, tell me this now. God, we're really gone off piste here. What were the hygiene solutions if they were just like marooned for 2 or 3 weeks? And what was the crack with food and stuff?
I don't know. I'm not too sure. Apparently, they were quite well looked after, but there was nearly a mutiny on the boat because people just wanted to get off and go home. Do you remember there was a lot of that at the start where people were just like, oh, we don't know what we're supposed to do. Let's just keep them moored off the bay and don't give them any information.
I just swim home. I just be like, okay, yeah, I'm swimming to the dock.
I think they would have had a guy there, sat there with a rifle just picking you off.
Oh my God.
That's what it got to. It was like an apocalypse movie. In the 80s and the 1990s, You Is Indeed Four, Unbelievable by EMF.
Clara's also mentioned something that I don't understand, Bush, so I hope you understand.
Uh-huh.
And she says, can't believe I didn't think of this first. United for you, winning the treble in 1999.
Do you know what? I remember watching that at university in our little halls of residence, and it was an unbelievable thing. Obviously, I'm not a massive Man United fan. I love Everton. But there was that one period of time where it was the manner in which they won the Champions League final was the most amazing thing. I think they were like 1-0 down with a few minutes to go, and they scored 2 goals in like the last 4 minutes of the game, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And it was, at the time, because you used to be able to watch stuff like that free on TV, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And it was a great team with like Beckham and Scholes and Nicky Butt and Peter Schmeichel, kind of like an iconic team with old Alex Ferguson with his pork pie face chewing away on his chewing gum in the background, all fed up. There's not enough injury time.
So Claire indeed is right. U is for United winning the treble in 1999.
Yes, that's going on the list. I'll tell you another one going on the list. It's been suggested by Andrea Mann, who has got in touch with us. She says you've got to talk about Ultranate, I'm Free. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, I find this a bit embarrassing because I spent years, and obviously I've worked in radio my whole career. So since I was 20, I've been in radio. And I went around for years calling them Ultranate.
All right, they're Ultranate.
All right, Ultranate. And then someone eventually went, can you please call them by their correct name? I was like, that is their correct name. They're like, no, it's Ultranate. I was like, oh no, cringe.
Can you remember the song though? I love the song. I'm free, you're free to do what you want to do. The weirdest thing is though, I was just looking at through the video again on my phone before we started recording.
Yeah.
And it's the most inexplicable location for the video. If you watch it again, right, she appears to be, and do us a favour and watch it this week and come back to us on it. She appears to be singing in the catering section of a hospital kitchen.
Does she?
Yeah, it's like pots and pans and stuff everywhere. It's really, she's in a nightdress and she's in a hospital kitchen. I don't know what the story is behind that.
So obviously they'd no budget and a hospital is open to whomever. So they just thought, let's just sneak in to the canteen of this hospital and just shoot a music video. Why not?
So many protocols broken in that in that one video shoot. Please have a look at Ultranate, I'm Free, You're Free, whatever
Ultranate.
It's called.
Ultranate.
And then tell us whether there's something hooky going on. You can get in touch via our Instagram, Louise, can't you? Which is?
A to Z of the 90s podcast on Instagram.
On the A to Z of the 90s, U is for Ultranate.
U is also for, now they weren't invented in the 90s, but they became very big in the 90s. It's a fashion faux pas, you could say. We've had a few of them on this podcast, and that is Ugg boots.
Ugg boots. A generation of women with a weird slant in their instep because of these damn things.
Yeah, now I would say, Bush, I think I told you this maybe months ago at the beginning. The only ones that slanted and made your kind of arches fall in were the fake ones. The real ones didn't do that. They were actually quite a solid boot.
Really?
Yeah, honestly, they were. But, and I did have a pair and I wore the, what do you say? Wore the arse out of them? That doesn't sound right.
That works.
Wore the arse out of my Uggs. And, you know, they were extremely comfortable. But like, you're
what kind of outfit are you wearing there then? What era are you wearing? And what are you wearing?
You're wearing leggings. Tucked right into your Ugg boots and a big kind of sloppy jumper. I'm not going to lie, that's kind of what I wear now, but I wear Nike Air Max now or Converse.
There's a slight evolution from that, but
yeah,
it's still
like,
the same
look
color.
At this. Exactly. So, yeah, there was a stage where every single girl in Dublin was in a pair of Uggs and they were pretty expensive at the time, you know. They came about in Australia, but apparently in Australia, they're seen as so lame and nobody wears them. But yet the whole rest of the world were wearing them. And for a time, there were so many, but they were kind of silly because the rain made them so disgusting.
You weren't supposed to wear them outside. Though I thought they were like they were a house boot. Do you know what I mean? You weren't supposed to be wearing them outdoors in a million years.
And I do wear Ugg boot. I do wear Ugg slippers now, and they're perfect for the gaff. And I'd only wear them inside the flat. But for a time, Ugg boots were worn outside all of the time. And I used to wear them with like little mini skirts and stuff. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
What was going on back then, Louise? What was going on?
Oh, Bush, you don't know.
I need to do some research, though, because when I get out of the tube at Piccadilly Circus on the way to work in central London, there's an Ugg shop right by the door of the tube station. And I was like, wow, are they diversified? Maybe they're selling other stuff. They've branched into like belts, snake belts or high heels.
Well, the thing is, I think if you're well off, I think it's really nice to have a comfy pair of Ugg boots for like, you know, when you're doing your winter ski holidays. I wouldn't know, but I think they are still pretty, I think they are still worn. And like I said, I have Ugg slippers and I love them.
In the A to Z, the 1990s, U is definitely for Ugg boots. And I definitely want to keep saying, ooh, what's going on with that? It's kind of weird, isn't it? Yes. Well, here's another one for you. My brother Simon has got in touch and says that we need to be 100% stay away from him. Like you go on about my dad, you stay away from my brother.
Is Simon single? And I was like, oh no, I can't get into that.
Jeez, stay out of this. Stay, leave my family alone, all right? He says he's got to talk about Yuri Geller. Do you remember Yuri Geller?
Yeah, was he the fella who used to bend the spoons?
Yes, Yuri Geller, spoon bender.
Yeah.
Isn't it the weirdest thing when you look back on it? Like, no one else has been doing that. Like, no, it's not like it was a crowded market. There was other people out there that were doing the whole spoon bend thing. And it's just the weirdest, like, skill or thing to have. But he got very far on it. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, he's just making cutlery lilt slightly. Do you know what I mean? And he went right the way through. Everyone knows who Yuri Geller is, and all he was doing bending cutlery. It's the weirdest thing.
Now, have you ever seen him do it, Bush?
I remember seeing him do it on Wogan back in the day.
I think I saw him on like Sally Jesse Raphael, which was obviously that talk show from the 90s. Should have brought her up in S. And I think I saw him on that. What's the crack? Like, what are we missing here? What's happening with him?
Well, normally with most kind of like psychic stuff, there's like a point. So like they might be able to communicate with a loved one that's passed on to the other side, a little bit like Derek Acora and his Native American spirit guide, Sam, that kind of thing. But as far as I can tell with Yuri Geller, he just bent cutlery and then was like, there you go, that's it.
That was his party piece.
That's literally it. Just leave you with a load of bent cutlery that would cost you a load of money to replace and then off he goes to another party.
Imagine that's how you made your millions and he's just like laughing his way all the way to his bank account, just going, you idiots, all I do is bend a spoon.
Well, and apparently the rumour is, and this is, you know, this is unsubstantiated, but apparently it's a bit of like thumb rubbing in the background. Do you know what I mean? People can do it. You can do the trick if you know how to do it. You know what I mean?
Wait, are you serious?
Uh-huh, 100. And I tell you what, as soon as my nose is fixed, I'm going to get back out there and do that trick where you, a brilliant Bush family party trick. And the girls love this in the morning sometimes if we're having cereal. Breathe on the end of a spoon, dessert spoon, and get it to hang off the edge of your nose.
Oh, yeah, I love. I haven't done that in years.
Dad 101. There's that one. I also do steal your ear. Tend to grab your ear. Steal your nose, and then put your thumb between your fingers. I've got
obviously
your nose. The one I was doing the other day, I don't know if anyone else does this from a dad perspective. I got a carrier bag that someone had some sweets in and was pretending to throw, get them to throw an invisible ball and then clicking my fingers in the bag and it made it sound like the ball had landed in there.
Good God.
Dad magic. Well,
I was just going to say, you are living up to all the dad stereotypes, aren't you? Like every single one of them.
And of course, don't forget coin behind the ear. And making a little tiny hat that looks like a boat. If you can think of any others, get in touch with me on Twitter, at Bush on the Radio. In the A to Z of the 1990s, U is for Yuri Geller, the spoon bender.
We've given him a nod before, Bush, but I'm going to say it again. You is for, but Undertaker in wrestling.
Oh, God, I used to love him. I used to love all that wrestling stuff in the early 90s. Brilliant. Look at him. He's scary, isn't he? He's really scary.
How does he get his eyes to do that? Like, they're just whites. Like, he doesn't seem to have any pupils or anything like that.
Do you think he looks upwards just so you can just see the white bits of his eyes? Because that's really hard, though, isn't it? You can't really see where he's going or anything.
That is grotesque. But I have to say, because, you know, back in the day when I was a kid, I did think wrestling was real. Why wouldn't I? Like, I think lots of people thought it was real.
Yeah.
And so I thought The Undertaker was a real person. And he really did scare the bejesus out of me back in the day when he'd come out all slow and the smoke and the darkness. Also, look how, like, he's so imposing as a character, isn't he?
He looks like Solomon Kane, famous kind of dark comic character. The weird thing is, though, like, if you, God forbid, you have to go into a funeral director's or go by them, they're normally kind of quite calm, quaint, very British affairs, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? With like a bowl of mints on the desk and the clicking grandfather clock ticking away as you're waiting for your appointment or whatever. Just, it couldn't be any further away from what he looks like. He looks like he's got electricity coming out of his eyes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you're already dealing with trauma and then you go into him and he's the person you're dealing with for a funeral. I wonder, is he still alive? Do we think he's still alive, Bush?
I think he's still alive. I hope he's still alive because he's such a big character. But the big thing about the 90s, though, in terms of wrestling was the huge departure that the WWF, subsequently rebranded to WWE, was from our Saturday afternoon wrestling that used to be on ITV. Do you ever used to watch that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Really rubbish, British, like church hall, low quality, loads of bruises and patchy, blotchy skin. People with skin like corned beef wrestling each other on the floor. Shirley Crabtree or Big Daddy, whatever, that kind of thing. Proper ropey.
I know, watching them side by side is pathetic, isn't it?
It's just British though, isn't it? It's like our teeth versus the teeth of the rest of the world.
That came in from Drunk Uncle Scissors. I've no idea what that handle is all about. So in the 80s and the 90s, U is for The Undertaker.
Another U in the 80s and the 90s has been suggested by Owen, and he's mentioned a band that I don't know very much about, and their name always fascinates me. He says you've got to talk about the Urban Cookie Collective.
Oh, I have heard about these guys, but I don't know them, Bush, do you?
Are they the ones I got the key?
I love that song.
I got the key. But their name, the Urban Cookie Collective, makes them sound like a paramilitary organisation.
Yes. I agree.
Do you think they are?
I mean, I hope not. Do you?
Well, I mean, they've not been active since the mid-90s. Maybe they've been stockpiling. You haven't been to Donegal and noticed any of the Urban Cookie Collective hanging around anywhere, have you, Louise? Just ask around.
No, I haven't. Oh my God. I do love that song. I think they're a bit of a one-hit wonder. Were they? Am I right in thinking they're a one-hit wonder?
I think they are. I think they pretty much were a one-hit wonder. In the 80s and the 1990s, very quickly there, that's the Urban Cookie Collective.
I just have a few to throw in towards the end here, Bush. From Nicola Sims, she has said Umbro. Umbro was a big one.
Iconic Italia 90, England's Umbro shirt for that World Cup. Obviously, you've got the World Cup, you know, coming up around the corner. And I don't think shirts have been as iconic as they were back in Italia 90. That, the white one, the main one, and then the blue away kit, which... Barney Sumner from New Order was singing in that song World in Motion we were talking about earlier on. They are iconic and they are worth loads of money on eBay.
If you've
kept one from back in the day. So,
wow.
Amazing shirts for football. Brilliant.
We just need to give a little nod to Utah Saints.
Well, you know, I was supposed to play the Shine on Weekender that I was just moaning about earlier on. They were playing at that as well.
Oh, for God's sake, Bush, you're missing out on all the fun this year.
Utah Saints, Utah. But the weirdest thing is I've seen a load of photos of them playing, and this goes for anyone who does DJing, myself involved. If you go and watch a band that DJs, it just looks like two blokes having a bit of a problem with their, you know, defragging their hardware.
I know. What do people just look up at them? What do they do? Are they doing any sort of performance on the stage, or are they just walking
nothing
around?
At all. They're just like fiddling with their computers or whatever. It looks like you're waiting at like the Apple bar or whatever to get your iPhone recalibrated, if that's a phrase.
I often wondered about, like, you know, Daft Punk going on tour. Like, do they just send two of their mates when they were, like, tired or hungover? Just stick this helmet on. You go out, we'll press play on the CD. You just pretend you're doing something. Dance around for 2 hours and come back and we'll pay you 50 quid.
Oh, have I ever told you about, I must have told you about Calvin Harris at the Isle of Wight Festival.
No.
I'll tell you about that. So he was headlining one year at the Isle of Wight Festival when I was working there for Absolute Radio. And this rumour was going around that he'd been stung by a mosquito, so he couldn't have a close-up on his face when he was DJing. So the entire gig was just him up on this plinth DJing, but in complete silhouette. No close-ups on him or anything like that at all. So it could have been anyone. But apparently the rumour was he got bitten by a mosquito and didn't want his face on camera. But I'm thinking that could have been anyone. Just get up there and press play, do you know what I mean?
Also, that feels like a stretch, doesn't it? The mosquito thing.
Yeah, a mosquito in the Isle of Wight. Well, I thought a lot about Daft Punk and the pair of them wearing those things. And I thought, if they're sending other people in, brilliant. It means you can be more than one place at once, pretty much. But if they are doing it themselves and they have got a hangover because it's rock and roll, imagine how bad it would be having your head in a biscuit tin in a nightclub. Very, very, very claustrophobic.
Bush, that's all I have for you this week, I've got to say. I did think we were going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel, but everyone really helped us out this week.
Hey, well, listen, if you think we're going to be scraping the barrel this week, wait till you get to next week. It's V. Let's get the suggestions in right now because this could be a real tough ride. So clip on in. Anything that begins with V from the 1990s, we'd love to hear from you. I'd love to get a little contribution on from someone next week as well. You can get in touch with me on Twitter at Bush on the Radio or via our Instagram.
HZ of the 90s podcast on Insta.
Right, that is us done. We love you. We will see you next week. Thank you for listening.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.